Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I am Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. This past week, we passed the halfway point of our Easter celebration. Our 25th day of the Easter celebration happened, I believe it was on Tuesday. But this is the 29th day of the Easter season, the fifth Sunday of Easter. So we are in the downward spiral, the downward run of our Easter celebration. So hopefully it still has been one that has given you new life and new hope. This season that is supposed to define who we are, this season that is supposed to help us remember why we have been created and what we are called to do. It is not a season sandwiched in between longer seasons of penitence, because that is not why we have been created, and that is not what we are about. Many times, yes, we may have to undergo penance, we may have to recognize our faults and our failings, but that is not the sum total of who and what we are ever. And so this Easter season, these 50 days, are meant again to realign us, to help us understand, you know, just what it means to be created in the image and likeness of God. And what is our responsibility then to the world, to each other, to ourselves, and then to God in the end, because we have been created in this way. And so, like I said last weekend, we passed the time of the narratives of Jesus's appearances and his resurrection. Last Sunday, we did the Good Shepherd. Again, how does this all fit within our understanding of what it means to lead each other to deeper and deeper faith and into relationship with God and with one another? And today we have, again, an exploration about what is the key focus, the key understanding or behavior of what we are as believers are supposed to demonstrate to the world, witness to the world, give to the world. And so our readings, again, focusing in upon that in a lot of ways. Acts of the Apostles opens us up this fifth Sunday of Easter by basically just giving sort of an itinerary of where Paul and Barnabas are going and all the wonderful work that they're doing in all these cities within Asia Minor, within the Eastern Mediterranean. Again, to see how receptive is this gospel, is this good news to the people who are listening to it. Most of them now are non-Jews. Most of them are basically Greek and Roman citizens who would have embraced a Greek and Roman religious practice, but somehow are now finding, you know, that there is something much more powerful in what Paul and what Barnabas are saying and what they are preaching. And so they are gathering together many different people from many different ways of life and from many walks of life. And the church is growing. The Christian community is growing in all of these places. Not much else can be said about that, except for that it's working and it seems to be doing good. Again, exaggeration, hard to say. You know, it's like, you know, did this all happen all at once like this? Was it always successful? It wasn't always successful. And we do have record of that in the Acts of the Apostles. But there was something that stuck with people. Even as outlandish and ridiculous it might have been to preach a person crucified and risen, and then to preach a person whose basic message was to love and to love and to love and to love again. It seemed to work. It seemed to be working. And it seems to continue to work even today. In the book of Revelation, again, John has this wonderful experience of a new heaven and a new earth, again, in which there'll be no more pain, no more hurt, no more sadness, you know, again, in this world without all of the imperfections anymore that we experience today, without any of the hurdles and the obstacles that get in the way of our full understanding of ourselves, that basically Christ brings this world to birth. But is it a different world than what we have now? Is this world meant to be wiped away in some horrific holocaust, in some horrific disaster, in some kind of horrific, you know, ending and destruction, whatever happens to be? No, because this passage from Revelation ends with the most powerful line ever in the book of Revelation. See, I make everything new. Not new things. I make all things, everything that is new, which is the whole idea of fulfillment, which is the whole idea of why there is an incarnation to begin with, of why Christ comes to begin with, to fulfill God's plan. Not to wipe it away. Remember, if God has to wipe away what God has created, then God basically created something that was wrong and something that was bad. And this is not what God created. This is not what God created. And because we have to remember that in this Easter season, we are now on the lookout for where things that exist now are being made new, are being made in the way they should be, being made in the way that God intended them to be. Because that is what resurrection does. It destroys everything that can stand in the way of us living out that life that we need to live as believers in this world, as witnesses of God in this world. A God who makes all things new, always and forever, doesn't destroy and wipe away to begin again. That's a weak God, and that is not our God. That is not the God who Jesus reveals. That is not the God whose life we share. In John's gospel today, Judas has already left the company of the apostles at the Last Supper after being called out because he's going to betray Jesus. He goes out to do that. And Jesus responds with, "Now is God glorified." A ridiculous kind of thing. It's also kind of interesting in question that Judas's decision to do this, does it bother Jesus? Does it hurt him? Is he sad that someone who was a companion, it seems to be? Again, we never know what actual relationship Judas has with Jesus. It's never really ever made clear, you know, except at the end where it seems that Judas gets fed up and decides to do something, you know, disastrous. But again, is Jesus upset by this departure? It doesn't say. It's sort of an unspoken part of this story that we maybe could benefit from hearing. But within all of the sadness that is going to unfold, Jesus talks about glory. And again, it is a glory that is going to be revealed because God is more powerful than the hatred and the pain and the fear that will bring Jesus to the cross. Remember, he is not being brought to the cross because we should be brought to the cross, and he does it on our behalf, and we must be guilt-ridden forever and ever because of this. That is not what that means. That is not what that means. Jesus goes to the cross out of love, out of a love for us, a love that says that God is more powerful than everything that stands in the way of love. And because of that, Jesus asks his apostles to love one another. Those who remain at that supper, love one another. And it is by love that you will witness to the world what my message is and who I have called you to be and what I have been for you and must continue to be for this world. Love, 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 love. Nothing more, nothing less. That is the central message, the central tenet, the central responsibility, the central attitude and behavior of us as believers in the world. Be people who love. We are witnessing by our love. We are measured by our love. We draw people to us by our love. Again, what happens sometimes is that love gets diminished or clouded over or obscured in so many ways by looking at all kinds of disciplines that come out, you know, of the Gospels and sometimes even out of the epistles. Again, disciplines to fast, you know, to pray, to give alms, all kinds of good things, everything that is good, but they are all secondary. They are tertiary. They're whatever the word fourth is, to everything that is love. Love has to be central to us and who and what we are. And if there is love, then there is no need of penitence. If there is love, then there is no need for fear that we don't measure up. If there is love, then there is no need to fear that we are not worthy or that there's something wrong with us or something wrong with everything around us. There is beauty when there is love. There is great understanding when there is love. There is the chance to begin again and again and again and take with us what it is that is wonderful and loving in the first place. The central message about this Easter season, not a moment sandwiched between times of penitence and sorrow, but that moment in which we are meant to be defined, not just for this moment of 50 days, but for this year to follow, for every year to follow, again and again. Remember that we are a people of resurrection. Remember that we are a people of love. Remember we are a people of new life that Christ brings us, that God brings us in fulfillment and in wonderful abandonment. A continued blessed Easter from Franciscan Media. May the Lord give you his peace.